The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com, also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via our various affiliates, live on X Spaces and Facebook. The midday news is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Coming up, a former Director General of Education has criticized the Boko Municipal Security Council's decision to deploy military escorts for final year students sitting the WASI, arguing that the move could traumatize rather than protect the students.
It is absolutely dangerous regardless. And the whole thing is, even if you have the best battalion protecting these kids coming back onto campus, peace of mind will not be in that child's mind.
Well, we'll hear from the Ghana Education Service and the West African Examinations Council on the measures being implemented to support final year students affected by the conflict. Also, amid the escalating conflict, only one doctor remains on duty in the entire Boko municipality, as all specialists have abandoned their posts.
At its peak, you had various specialists at present in the facility. There was a general surgeon, an obstetrician, gynecologist, etc. Now all of them are no more there. And it is only one officer who is serving all these people.
Well, with less than 2 hours until the curfew takes effect, an additional 400 military personnel are expected to be deployed to the towns of Boko, Nalerigo, and the surrounding areas.
There is some deficit in intelligence, because once it happened, the state got to know after the fact. A chairman was also after the fact. The Nalerigo SHS was after the fact. Boko SHS was after the fact.
But will this work?
This time around, we have marshaled enough of our forces from Southern Command, Central Command, to join their colleagues in Northern Command. And we have enough formidable force to undertake whatever operations we have in Boko.
Well, more on Boko coming up shortly. Also, three aspirants pick nomination forms to contest NDC's parliamentary primaries in the Akwatia by-election, while NPP unanimously backs its constituency treasurer as candidate.
Council also gave us the go-ahead to follow the due process to do a popular acclamation of Kwame Asumedu as our candidate for the Akwatia constituency by-elections.
We have sports.
Ghana FA President Kato Kreku calls for national recognition for the Black Queens after bronze-winning feat at the Women's AFCON.
And also in this bulletin, we'll tell you how children in Wase Sikuma are trading books for Galamsey sites, working in toxic pits exposed to mercury and danger, all in the name of survival.
4.3.
Sometimes we get 0.4 or 0.3 grams. A 0.3 gram can fetch us about 360 CDs.
More in our latest feature titled Children in the Pits. Details of these coming up with me, Mami Sinyamiche Thompson. And this afternoon, a former Director General of the Ghana Education Service, Dr. Kwabena Benpat Tando, has sharply criticized the Boko Municipal Security Council's decision to deploy military escorts for final year students writing the West African Senior School Certificate Examination, WASI. Dr. Tando described the move as counterproductive, arguing that the presence of armed security forces in examination centers could traumatize rather than protect the students. The decision by local authorities comes amidst renewed tensions and violent clashes in the Boko municipality, which have raised concerns about the safety of students commuting to and fro examination centers. The Boko Municipal Security Council insists the military escort is a necessary precaution to safeguard lives and ensure the smooth conduct of the exams. Here's Boko MCE Isaac Azunaba.
We're interacting with the students when the decision came to give them a break so that they can go up, interact with their parents, reassure their parents, and their parents will also reassure them, and their parents will see them and be comfortable that their wards are alive and healthy. We inform them, we discuss about the exam, and then we give them expected roadmap as to how they will be brought back to write exam.
Okay, so what's the roadmap?
We'll send security to pass them, we send back. We don't want them to come by themselves.
Okay.
We look for supervisors to bring them to a company.
Well, final year students of the Nalerigo Senior High School are also affected by the closure of the school following the murder of two students there last week. The Northeast Regional Minister Ibrahim Tia says a similar military escort is being considered.
We are working around. Some of them are going to write exams, and then we are trying to see what the situation will be on the ground between now and the end of the week. And then maybe we'll review it accordingly to see how we can get the students who are going to write right. If there's the need for them to send them to other schools, fine. If there's the need for them to come back to their mother school to write, we will look at that situation again and then make those recommendations. Earlier, the situation in Nalerigo is entirely different from Boku. For Boku, the guns are firing almost all the time. Securities have been attacked left, right, center. In Nalerigo, there's nothing like that incident there at all. Mm. It's just the killing of these students that have brought Nalerigo into the domain. Okay. So they are entirely complete different situations together. So we can compare them together.
But the former Director General of the Ghana Education Service, Dr. Kwabena Tando, says that GES and the Ministry of Education must adopt a playbook developed to respond to some situations. He spoke to Evans Spencer.
So our immediate concern is the final year students. Under no circumstance should you ever think that you would bring children back to a conflict zone, even under tight security. They are not going to be mentally stable to write exams. Mm. This stage, the playbook says, work closely with the West Africa Examination Council. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that are mandated for examinations. And then what you do is you look at where you are deploying the children to. They are all going home. They have all been registered by West Africa Examination Council. So if you send some of the students go home to Wa, some to Tamale, some to Navrongo, some to Accra, the West Africa Examination Council has exam centers across the entire country. So all you do is you give letters of authentication to each student to be sent to the nearest center. If there are 10 students coming in Accra, you put some at Presec, you put some at Accra Academy, you put some at Achimota, some at Accra Girls. You can accommodate these students on these other campuses.
Well, as you may be aware, the WASI is starting next week. So what are the options available to the examination body, WAEC? Join us for some answers is the head of public affairs, John Kapi. We're grateful for your time on the Midday News. What is WAEC considering, especially for final year students of Boku and Nalerigo Senior High Schools affected by the closure of their schools? Mr. Kapi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So, basically, what our plans were earlier was to, in the case of the Boko area, whatever plans we had with the DEC that worked for us was what we're going to replicate for the West. So then, in the case of the Nalerigo Senior High School, most of the time, these decisions are taken by the Ghana Education Service or the local education authorities. They can advise that, for example, this area is safe, and so we are going to move the candidates over there, and then we would also plan appropriately and then ensure that we are able to conduct examinations in an atmosphere that will be conducive for every candidate.
So has the GES been officially informed about the situation, and have they even taken measures?
Well, these situations normally would start from the maybe the local authorities over there. Then through the Ghana Education Service, it comes to us at WAEC. And then based on whatever reports they bring to us, we are able to, you know, determine how we can bring about a number of measures to ensure that everybody gets the opportunity to write the exam.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Kapi, for that update. Let's stay a while longer on Boko, because the entire Boko Presbyterian Hospital has only one doctor attending to all patients. And this is because doctors posted to the facility have left post due to the conflict. It's General Secretary of the Ghana Medical Association, Dr. Richard Salome.
If you speak from the perspective of doctors alone, there are only three doctors currently remaining in that whole enclave, with only one doctor serving the Boko Presby Hospital, only one currently. Meanwhile, in the past, when Boko was calm and peaceful, we had various specialists, obstetrician, gynecologist, general surgeon, and co. Currently, all have left, and their return cannot be guaranteed because of the situation that we find ourselves. Again, health workers have had to work under very dangerous conditions, in the sense that going to and from work is always a risky venture, even though we have not heard that any health worker in particular has been attacked, harmed in any way.
How about healthcare delivery?
At its peak, you had various specialists at present in the facility with supporting staff and the relevant other staff that needs to do the work that they do. There was a general surgeon, an obstetrician, gynecologist, etc. Now all of them are no more there. And it is only one officer who is serving all these people. Clearly, he will be overwhelmed.
Well, let's go to Boko now. I speak to original correspondent Albert Sori. Albert, what's the current situation with the military? We know that some 400 are expected in the area.
Yes, Ma'am, you see, they just started deployment from their military base in Bolgatanga this afternoon. They are headed to Boko as we speak. The chief of army staff addressed the men, and he cautioned them to make sure that whatever they do on the ground, they do things that will make the Ghana Armed Forces proud of them, and they should live beyond reproach. It was just about boosting their morale as they deploy to the area. And just a few minutes ago, they started heading to Boko.
The Ghana Army, and for that matter, the Ghana Armed Forces, started some preparation for a training exercise that was supposed to be held in this area. So just before the weekend, actually, troops started moving to the exercise area, and then the mobilization started. And it was around this same weekend that the situation developed in the Boko General area. So as a professional Ghana Army and then the Ghana Armed Forces, we've troops mobilized for training exercise. We just reviewed that training exercise to get the troops redeployed for this real operation to deal with the situation that has emerged at the Boko General area regarding the killings that we experienced over the weekend. This time around, we have marshaled enough of our forces from Southern Command, Central Command, to join their colleagues in Northern Command. And we have enough formidable force to undertake whatever operations we have in Boko.
And you heard the Major General Lawrence Betanu, Chief of Army Staff, addressing the media earlier. Now, security expert Festus Abuaji says the deployment may not achieve much if the needed logistics are not provided.
The shift or the transition from peacekeeping to peace enforcement is not applicable. So one of the first things we want to look at is the size of the force. Can we, for instance, increase it by another 500 to 1,000 or 2,000? Because this operation is about dominating the conflict area.
Meanwhile, the NPP General Secretary Justin Kodiafrimpo is urging government to step up efforts to end the conflict.
Human lives are being lost each and every day. Innocent students are being murdered each and every day. Innocent citizens are also losing their lives each and every day. All not because of their own choice, but because of where they find themselves in, and also because of the particular tribe that they belong to. Indeed, it should serve as a caution to the NDC government that in politics, it is not everything that we allow propaganda, misrepresentation, to lead us.
Well, let's turn our attention now to Akwetia in the Eastern Region, where the upcoming by-election is drawing significant political interest. The election follows the passing of sitting NPP Member of Parliament Ernest Kumi. The Electoral Commission has scheduled the poll for September 2, and both the NDC and NPP are intensifying preparations for what is shaping up to be a high-stakes contest. In a unanimous decision announced yesterday, the NPP endorsed its constituency treasurer, Solomon Kwame, Kwame Asumedu as his candidate for the by-election. Mr. Asumedu is a seasoned party organizer, a former constituency executive and the CEO of Owo Mining Company. He has Eastern Regional Chairman Jeff Konedu announcing the party's decision.
The party saw that they've settled on Kwame Asumedu Solomon. And so we reported back to council, and council also gave us the go-ahead to engage further and to follow the due process to do a popular acclamation of Kwame Asumedu as our candidate for the Akwetia constituency by elections.
Well, we know that a day after this endorsement, the party has opened nominations for its presidential primaries. Presidential hopefuls within the party now have until August 28 to submit their nomination documents. Let's go on the phone lines now. Speak to my colleague, Kenneth Jussi, who's joining me from the NPP headquarters. Kenneth, I know the party has announced measures for the presidential primaries, fees, etc. Walk us through the modalities.
Right, that's right. So nomination fees have been set at $100,000 and the filing fees have been set at $500,000. And the general secretary of the party, Justin Kudia, confirmed what the regional chairman of the MIP division mentioned, that they have unanimously endorsed Solomon Asumedu as its candidate for the Akwetia by-elections. Now, the party has issued caution to aspiring candidates that nobody is allowed to campaign until the conclusion of the Akwetia by-election, although nominations are officially open today, which would have paved way for a campaign to begin. But the party says their eyes and ears are all on the Akwetia by-election, so no candidate should be campaigning until after the conclusion of the Akwetia by-election. The general secretary also touched on other issues. He talked about the Boko conflict, saying that the NDC politicized it to gain power in 2024 elections and is now struggling to curtail the issue. They said that they are willing to come to the table
Kenneth, so we understand that, but let's understand the modalities, especially the fees.
The fees, as I Ghana City, that's the nomination fee, and then the filing fee is 500,000 Ghana cedis, and you have until August 28th to file for it. And then in September, the committee will sit, and then the balloting will be done in October.
All right, thank you very much. That's Kenneth Jussi giving us updates on the NPP presidential primaries. Well, in the camp of the NDC, they've expressed confidence of emerging winners, citing what they say is lack of development in Akwetia as one of their reasons. And Party Deputy National Elections Director for IT, Sofo Tanko Rashid, is on the phone lines for us. Mr. Tanko, based on your timetable that we've seen, deadline for nominations ends tomorrow, and you already have three. What happens after this?
Very well. Let me say good afternoon to your cherished listeners. We are ready for primaries to elect our parliamentary candidates come 4th August, which will be Monday next week. Three candidates have picked nominations, and I can tell you the three of them all are heavyweights in the constituency, because any of them who emerges winner on the 4th of August would be the MP for the constituencies. We are going to win the constituency. In fact, actually, we won it in 2024. But because of the crooked nature of the Electoral Commission with the NPP, they rigged the election. And this time, they won't have the luxury to rig the election. And so, looking at what we have done so far, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, his track record so far, 7 months in government, unprecedented. I mean, everybody wants to join the reset agenda. Right. No constituency will want to be in opposition. So we are ready for battle. I can assure you we are going to win the constituency comes 2nd September.
Right. Thank you very much there. Now, the Ashanti Regional Security Coordinator, Captain Retired John Jabari, has confirmed that has condemned what he describes as politically motivated lockdown of three Forestry Commission offices at Inkaria, Bekwai, and Ofenso in the Ashanti region. In a statement, the Security Coordinator warned against using national security for partisan interests, describing the development as illegal and unacceptable. Here's a news desk report.
Three Forestry Commission offices at Inkaria, Bekwai, and Ofenso in the Ashanti region came under attack on Monday. Armed men under the guise of national security operatives stormed the premises, pushed out staff and locked up the offices. The unannounced action is believed to be a retaliatory move following a recent anti-illegal mining swoop led by the officials of the Forestry Commission. But the regional security coordinator, Captain Jabari, says those who stormed the offices have been identified as foot soldiers of NDC, acting outside any official authorization of the Regional Security Council.
National security staffs have not been sent anywhere. And those who are parading themselves as national security staff, and I'm not happy at all. And it's bringing a whole lot of issues because we don't involve ourselves in such issues. These people are party foot soldiers who have taken those places hostage. But due to our intervention, we have told them to leave the place. And whatever concerns that they have, they should submit it to the party or to the regional minister.
The security coordinator emphasized that no individual or group, regardless of political affiliation, has the mandate to usurp the powers of the state.
And we are going to let the police pick them up, or we'll pick them up and hand them over to the police ourselves. It is illegal to fight illegality with illegality.
You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We'll return with sports. Also in the bulletin, we'll tell you how children in Wase Sukuma are trading books for Galamsey sites, working in toxic pits, exposed to mercury and danger, all in the name of survival.
4.3.
Sometimes we get 0.4 or 0.3 grams. 0.3 grams.
Welcome back to the Midday News. Mubarak is here with sports.
My Mercy, the Ghana Football Association President Kerto Kreku is calling on government to reward the Black Queens and the technical team for winning bronze medal at the Women's Africa Cup of Nations. It was the team's first podium finish since 2016.
We are very appreciative of what they have done and for the entire Ghanaian sporting population. And they are grateful for the opportunity to serve Ghana. That is a moment for them to enjoy because they have done some good work for the country. This is the time for us to reward them. Yes, their desire was to bring the trophy. Their desire was to bring the ultimate. But I think that they have proven that they are on the right way. They are in the right pathway. And given the right levels of investment, they will bring glory to our dear country.
Meanwhile, Nigerian President Bola Tinubu has announced the allocation of 3-bedroom apartments and cash prizes of $100,000 each to the Super Falcons for emerging as champions of the competition. And Mami Esi, if only.
If only. I know, right?
If only.
If only. Thank you very much, Mubarak. Now, President John Mahama says the enduring legacies of slavery, colonial exploitation, systemic racism, and economic subjugation are still evident in modern-day Africa. Speaking at the Africa Union High-Level Dialogue on Democracy, Governance, and Human Rights, President Mahama, who also serves as the AU Champion on Reparative Justice, stressed that young people across the continent are growing increasingly impatient.
This dialogue could not have come at a more appropriate time. For far too long, the architecture of African states has rested on foundations imposed during a colonial era that neither understood nor respected our histories, our culture, or our aspirations. The enduring legacies of slavery, colonial exploitation, systemic racism, and economic subjugation are still visible today in the arbitrary borders that divide our peoples, in the financial hardships imposed by unjust global systems, and in the fragile governance systems, institutions that we are still struggling to strengthen. We gather here not only to examine this painful past, but also to shape a different and a better future for our continent.
Well, Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Agbagba joins me on the line. Maxwell, Foreign Affairs Minister Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa also spoke at an event. What did he say?
Well, he was not excited about the push, especially when it comes to conversations about racism, colonialism, and others within the international circles. He says within international circles, some countries especially, I'm very excited when those conversations come up. And he's been urging members of the African Union to continue to push for reparative justice.
We aspire for this conference to go beyond conventional dialogue. May it provide a distinguished platform for the exchange of innovative ideas, facilitate open and sincere discussions, and cultivate a collective commitment to nurturing an African continent where rights are respected, voices are heard, justice is upheld, the democratic dividend is consciously harnessed and opportunities are created for the many and not the few. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, we must do this mindful of the global backdrop where efforts to address such matters in international circles have often been hampered by a lack of political will.
Now, they should be in classrooms chasing dreams, but many children in the mining community of Wassa Esukuma are instead chasing specks of gold in toxic pits. The lure of quick cash has dragged them into illegal mining, where mercury, lead and arsenic poison the air they breathe and the water they drink. Nanai Aljima has more on the latest feature titled Children in the Pit.
At Wassa Esukuma near Ikropon, I met a group of teenagers aged between 12 and 14 years. One of the two group leaders, who I choose to call David, explains their mode of operations.
We go to the Galamsey site after the adults have left. We enter the pit to collect some sand and wash it. After washing, we bring the sand home, mix it with mercury and rinse it again. Once we get some gold, we package it and sell it to the buyers.
Junior, not his real name, is the leader of the other group.
Sometimes we get 0.4 or 0.3 grams. When we return, we sell it to a buyer and collect the money. A 0.3 gram can fetch us about 360 cedis, which we then share, sometimes 150 cedis each.
The mercury, which is used by the children, is stored in a small container, which is originally used to package eye drops.
A teacher warned us to be careful with mercury, and that if we use it wrongly or swallow it, we could fall sick.
And yet you still use it?
If I don't use it, I won't be able to get gold to sell.